Thank the Lord for the songs this morning. Thank the Lord for the truth of the songs, that it is through the blood this morning that we have deliverance. It's not through our own works this morning. It's not through our own goodness. It's not through the way we were raised. It's not even where we come to church, but it is through the blood of Jesus Christ that we have hope this morning. It's through the blood that we find deliverance. Today is a day of remembrance. And it is a day of worship, and I say it is a day of great rejoicing because we serve a living Savior. And others may say there is no God, and others may follow a philosophy that is founded on people who are still in the graves today. But I know my Savior lives because He is a reality in my life today. And I know in Sunday school this morning we examined some of the proofs of the resurrection, but I close with sharing that the greatest proof of the resurrection is what God has done in my own personal life. And the world cannot steal that from us this morning. God has, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I will say that Jesus has healed my body numerous times. He has saved me from my sins. He has enabled me to do what I could not do for myself. And again, I point you back to that very common expression, God helps those who help themselves. That is not scriptural. God helps those who cannot help themselves. And because God has done that so many times in my life, I know He is alive this morning. God has changed my outlook. It was because of the power of the resurrection. He's given me hope when it looked dark. And when things looked bleak and there was no way out, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, He changed my perspective and gave me hope. And it is because He lives this morning. Wrote on the board the title of the burden that the Lord put on my heart, Alive Forevermore. I'd like us to consider what it was like before Jesus came to this earth. Before Jesus came, people did not have the ability to live without sin. People sometimes use the excuse, even still today, they do wrong and they say, well, the devil made me do it. Well, that's what it was like before Jesus came to this earth. The devil did make people do it because they had no other avenue of power to turn to. And in their lives, people lived without hope. They didn't have any present hope. You see, before Jesus came, the world was pretty dark. And it was pretty bleak. They were looking forward to Messiah to come in a future date, but they didn't have present hope. In their battles and in their trials, in the needs that they had in their own life, they did not have hope today of a Savior to come to give me deliverance and to enable me to overcome the problems that I face today. They were always looking forward to another time. I'm glad I live today. I'm glad I live in a time that we have access to a Savior who is alive. But before Jesus was born, keep in mind, how would you face life? If you had your situations that you face today, and you know all of us have problems this morning, we all have needs in our life, but if it were before the time of Christ, how would it change our approach to how we face our difficulties? How would it change our approach? You know what we would be doing? We would be coming here this morning and we would be offering sacrifices and just hoping that God would hear my prayer and that something would turn out, looking forward to another day, thousands of years to come, that maybe there would be hope. They didn't have present hope. But then Jesus was born. And I'd like to read you an account in the second chapter of Luke. And I know this is a very familiar passage, and a lot of times the only times this is read is around Christmas time. Well, I want to read it at Easter time. In the second chapter of Luke, beginning with verse 9, when Jesus was born, the angels appeared to those shepherds that were out in the field. Second chapter of Luke, begin verse 9. And keep in mind that people that lived before Christ was born, They lived without hope. They lived without present hope. And that was the condition of these shepherds when the angels appeared to them. Jesus was born, and in verse 9 it said, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The angels were rejoicing that day that Jesus was born because hope was born. Mankind had been in a condition where there was no present hope. There was no ability to overcome sin. There was no power to say no. When the flesh was drawn to the things of the sin and the things of the world, there was no power to break the habits and the addictions and the power that sin had over all of us as humanity. There was no power over that, and so there was no hope. There was no hope of another day would come that I would be an overcomer. But when Jesus was born, the angels in heaven appeared to very lowly shepherds. And the message was, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now there is a Savior. There is someone that has been born that will enable you to be saved from your sins. Do you know that hope spawned in the hearts of those shepherds that day? That this is the one we've been looking forward to. This is the Messiah, the Savior that has come to this earth, that now maybe there's hope now that I can overcome what the problems in my life. Maybe there's hope for my family. Maybe there's hope in my relationship with God. Maybe there is hope to overcome the things that I've tried to stop doing for many years. Maybe now that a Savior has been born, there's hope for me. And the angels in heaven were rejoicing, saying, peace on earth. You know that God wants us to experience that peace this morning because hope was born. Before Christ, there was no hope. There was no present hope. But now that Jesus was born, the angels began to rejoice, and it was because a brighter day had dawned. Jesus grew up, and he began his ministry at age 30. Is anybody here 30 years old exactly? Sister Lene, 30 years old. That's how old Jesus was when he began his ministry. And is anybody here 33 years old? 32? 34? Brother Nathan, that's how old Jesus was when his ministry ended. He ministered for 3.5 years. The Savior, the Messiah, the one that the world was looking forward to, that maybe there's hope in this man, the Son of God. There is a possibility now that we can overcome sin. And consider when Jesus began his ministry, his first message that he ever preached was in the 4th chapter of Luke, in the 18th verse. And he got up in the temple, in the synagogue, and he read from the prophet Isaiah. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Folks, that scripture encapsulates the ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to help the poor. And what does it mean to be poor? It means to have need. It means to be without. Who of us here this morning has all that we need? Who of us here this morning has everything spiritually that we need? Jesus came to minister to the needs that we have in our life today. He said he came to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted. What does it mean to be brokenhearted? I won't ask for a show of hands, but have not all of us had times in our lives that we were brokenhearted? When we were disappointed because of things that happened in life, and it felt like there was no more hope. But yet, through the power of Jesus Christ, He came in and began to bring healing and began to minister to those areas that were hurting so greatly in. He came to bring healing to the brokenhearted, and He came to preach deliverance to the captive. To be captive is those that are bound up. In Sunday school this morning, the children sang a song. And part of the song says, "The devil had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free." You know, that's what Jesus came to do for us this morning. He came to set us free, to enable us to do what we cannot do in our own strength. There are things and powers in this world that I cannot overcome in my own ability. Coming to church and being under the influence of the sound of the gospel, that's a good thing. But folks, when I go home tonight, I go home and get up tomorrow, I'm going to face the same temptations, the same problems, the same circumstances, and I need a power that is greater than what I have in my own ability today. Jesus came to enable us to overcome the power of sin. He came to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. Do you remember the woman that was sick? Since she had an issue of blood. And it said she sought many physicians. And she spent all her money. She was looking for an answer to her problem. And she got to the place that she was hopeless. I have a problem in my life. And I've gone to the physicians. I've spent money. I've been seeking and searching for an answer to the needs of my life. But then this woman, in her desperation, in her hopelessness, she heard about Jesus. And she heard about this man that could enable the blind to see. That caused the lame to walk. She heard about this man called Jesus that was able to forgive sins. She heard about this man, Jesus, who was able to those that had strongholds and addictions in their life. This man, Jesus, was able to come and break the power of that. And hope began to spawn in her life. She thought, maybe if I could just get to Jesus and just touch the hem of His robe, maybe I'll be healed too. She had a faith in Jesus and what she'd heard. And she went in her desperation and in her hopelessness, and she found Jesus, and she was made whole because of Jesus Christ. And so the message went out across the world of that time, in Israel and beyond the borders, about the man Jesus, that if you have a problem, there's someone that you can come to that can minister to you. You know, all of the people this morning, I don't know if those of you that are sick or bound up, you can't see maybe spiritually, or there's strongholds in your life. If I told you, I know someone that can break that power. I know someone that can heal your broken heart. I know someone that can do for you what you tried to do for years and haven't been able to. And I'll give you his address and his phone number. And his doors are open, and all you have to do is go and say, I'm desperate for some help. How many of us here would be lining up saying, Brother Michael, I want the address. Tell me how to contact someone like that. That's the condition of that woman. She was without hope, but then she heard about Jesus Christ. And people that did not think there was a way out, when they came to Jesus, they found that He was a Savior of impossibilities. The things that man cannot do for himself. The scripture says with man it is impossible. But with God all things are possible. Folks, Jesus came and brought hope because He can work the impossible in our lives this morning. And so then, this man that brought so much hope, in 3.5 years of ministry, the one that when he was born, the angels resounded with glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That man, Jesus, went about doing good and demonstrating a life of power and divine love. You know, it says so many times in the Gospels that Jesus looked on the multitude and He was moved with compassion. Do you know that when Jesus looked on the multitude, He didn't look down on us with His sword raised, ready to cut us off at any infraction? But this was a Savior that looked on us and He saw the needs in our life and He was moved with compassion. Some people think a lot of religious people are self-righteous. They just look down their nose at people and think, well, you're down there and you have that problem. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus came to this world because He loved us. And it was that love that enabled Jesus to be moved with compassion. And there have been so many times in my life, in my personal failures, in my needs, that I was so thankful to have a Savior that was looking down, being moved with compassion when He looked on me. And His compassion also enabled Him to stretch out His hand to me and lift me up. This man, Jesus, ministered for 3.5 years. And at the young age of 33, He was taken by betrayal. One of His disciples, His friends, turned on Him and betrayed Him. And He stood alone, forsaken from His disciples. He was without friends and support. He was without family. His robes were stripped from Him. He was beaten. He was spit on. He was ridiculed. He was mocked. He did it. He faced that alone. And He was placed on a cross. And nails were driven through His hands. He hung there. His robes had been ripped off. They put a crown of thorns on His head. And the blood streamed down His face. And He hung there because of His love for us this morning. He was forsaken. We consider the physical trauma that Jesus went through being beaten. But consider the emotional trauma that comes when your friends betray you. When your family turns their back on you. Jesus was there forsaken, alone. He hadn't done anything wrong. All He had done was come to offer hope to people. And He was crucified because of it. He gave Himself as an innocent sacrifice. He offered Himself willingly to die because of our sins this morning. That's why Jesus came. It's why He died. And the Savior, the one whom the world had heard about that there was hope for this in this man, that man died. You know what that did to people's hope? If I passed out that address of that one that can minister to all of our problems this morning, and some of you had had opportunity to go, and some of you were still waiting to get there, and I said, y'all, I just got word, he died. This man died. You can't. You know what that would do to our hope? It would be dashed. This is the one that we had been telling people, you can go to him and he'll help you out. This man has died. The one that healed the lame, the one that forgave sins, he was dead. You know what a dark night that must have been? I've heard mentioned twice, it was mentioned here in prayer meeting, and someone mentioned again recently to me, that Friday, this may be Friday, but Sunday's coming. Do you know that Friday was a day of darkness? Because the one that we put our hopes in, the ones that we thought could save us, he's now dead. But I am so thankful this morning that the story is not over. I am so thankful this morning that all of the hopes that the disciples had in a Messiah, that was not in vain. Because we read over in the 28th chapter of Matthew, beginning in verse 1, it said, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came down and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And fear of him the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus who is crucified. In some of the greatest words in the Scripture are these right here. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you unto Galilee. Do you know that all of the hopes that had been dashed, all of the dreams that they had of the Savior were dashed that night when he died, but now Jesus rose from the dead. He was alive, and the angel told the women that day, he's not here because he's risen from the dead, and go quickly. Go tell the disciples that Jesus is alive. This morning my text is found in Revelation 1, in verse 18. Revelation 1:18, Jesus spoke, and he said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I am he that liveth. I was the one that the angel sang about. I was the one that the angel said glory to God in the highest about. But then I died. But now I am alive forevermore. Folks, there is still a Savior that is alive. All of the hopes, all of the needs that we have in our life, we may think, I don't know a way out. I don't see a way over the mountain or through the valley. My message to you this morning is that there is still a Savior that is alive forevermore. And we can all, if we'll humble our heart, we can go to that Savior and he can minister to the deepest needs that are in our life. He's alive forevermore, folks. Jesus is not dead. But how are we living this morning? You know, I can only answer that for myself. But so many times it seems that people are living as if Jesus is still in the grave. They're living as if Jesus is dead and there's no hope. I don't like to hear people say, I can never do it. I can never overcome that. I can never see my family brought together. I can never do that. I can never live holy. I can never be that way. We can't do those things in our own strength this morning. But Jesus is alive forevermore, and his power is there that if we will come with our needs and our burdens, he can enable us to do this morning what we cannot do for ourselves. This is what gives us hope. Hope is not dead this morning. In the most impossible circumstances in your life today, I want you to know that Jesus is alive and he's alive forevermore. He is there. And I want to read the scriptures in the 7th chapter of Hebrews. Jesus is alive and he's doing a job for us this morning. He has some work that he's doing in your behalf today. The 7th chapter of Hebrews, verse 25. It says, wherefore, he is able also, speaking about Jesus, to save them to the uttermost, and that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Folks, Jesus is at the right hand of God this morning, making intercession for us. And it said that he is able to save us to the uttermost. It does not matter how captive we are. It doesn't matter what binds us. It does not matter how broken we are in our spirits and in our body this morning. Jesus is alive forevermore, and there is still hope. So if this morning you feel hopeless, if this morning you feel like there's not a way out of the problems that are in your life, my message to you today is, in the fear of the Lord, that Jesus is alive forevermore, and there is hope for you. There is a power to enable you to do what you cannot do in your own strength and in your own power. And because he is alive today, because Jesus is alive, we sang the song, I Can Face Tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. This morning, knowing that Jesus is alive, it brings hope. It helps me to know that when I can't go any longer, or when I am bound and I'm in trouble, there is one that I can go to that will love me, that will have compassion on me. But, you know, have you ever met someone in just such trouble and you were so moved and you were just so sorry? Your words can almost express how sorry you were, but you didn't have any power to help them.
You know, you couldn't heal them. You couldn't change your circumstances. The Lord this morning is not only being moved with compassion for us, but He has the power to divinely intervene in the things in our life. This morning, let us not go from here today as if Jesus were still dead. Jesus is alive. There is hope. There is power. And we can access it if we just humble our heart. So as we stand and sing a song this morning, if there's someone that wants to seek the Lord, if there's a need in your life and you felt like it was impossible, we have a risen Lord this morning that can work out impossible situations in our life. And all we have to do is come and humble our heart and seek His face.